Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Revelation, chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. Revelation 6, 9 through 11. It says, "When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, 'How long, O Lord, holy and true, till you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth?' Then a white robe was given to them, to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer until both the member of their fellow servants, the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were, was completed."
Welcome again to the Pittsburgh Seventh-day Adventist Church, everybody. Before I begin in the sermon, please join me in prayer. Father in heaven, we really don't deserve to be here before you, but you saw us special enough to die and rest and resurrect for us. And please bless me now as I speak your word. Let these words come alive and reach everyone's imagination. Let them be inspired by your goodness, your justice, and the hope of the good future to come. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You heard Jeff read about John the Apostle in Revelation. He saw a vision where he sees souls under an altar and they're crying out for justice. If you look in Revelation 6, let's go take a look over there real quick. And I want to read one statement to you. And we'll think about this. It says, Revelation 6, verse 10. They say, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth?" That's a cry for justice. That's a cry that people make when they see things going horribly around them, when they see injustice all around. In this world today, we see all kinds of things. We see children being murdered. We see corruption among leaders. We see injustice at work. We see rich people holding back wages from the poor that are working for them. We see injustice maybe in our own lives. Maybe our health is declining, and we think it's not fair because things are going this way. And this is what our world of sin is like. And these souls that John sees under the altar, that during the fifth seal in Revelation, he sees them crying for justice. And we serve a God of justice. And this isn't uncommon to God's people. Let's go over to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. Jesus just talks about, in chapter 17, he talks about his glorious return in heaven. He talks about how he's going to return in the clouds and come and rescue all of his people. In Luke 18, verses 1 to 8, Jesus, then he tells a parable because he has just told everyone the gloriousness of his return. But then the question is, how long do we have to wait for this? How long till justice will be served? Here's the parable. He says, there's a widow, and she goes to a judge, and she says to the judge, "Please avenge me from my adversary. Get justice for me, judge." And this judge, he's called the unjust judge because he wouldn't do it for a while. He sees this lady come to him and he's saying, "What do you want? You want justice. I don't have time for that right now. I don't have time." She's persistent. She keeps coming back. She keeps calling for justice. And then eventually, the judge, he says, "You know, I don't fear God. I don't care about God. I don't care about anyone else. But this lady's wearing me out. I can't handle her coming to me like this and bothering me all the time. And then he says, okay, what do you want? And then he says, well, lest by her continual coming she weary me out. So basically, he gives the lady justice just because he's tired of her bothering him. If this unjust judge gives this lady justice, gives her what she wants, how much more will our God, who is truly just, give us the justice that the law demands for the injustice that we see around? We cry out day and night. We're on our knees. We see things on television that touch our hearts and make us ask ourselves, God, when are you coming back? How long till these wicked people receive the justice that they deserve for their wicked actions? And then Jesus says, you know, God will avenge his elect who cry out day and night. Even though he bears long, though justice has not fully been served yet, though justice has not been served, he will avenge them. Will the Son of Man find faith when he comes back? Will he find faith when he comes? And I'm sure each one of you have experienced seeing injustice around. Who here has seen injustice in the world? You've seen something wrong in the world that really touches your heart. It may be there's a multitude of different issues that may bother you. It could be, you know, you see sex trafficking with children, you see crime in the streets, you see racism, you see all these different kinds of things. Something may bother you, and you are crying and calling for justice. And that's good. Then Jesus, in his wisdom, he tells another parable right after that. Because when something is important to us, we can fall into temptation and become unjust in our search for justice. I love how Jesus was so wise in the way he told his parables. Right after this, Luke writes another parable. He tells a parable about two other people. It's not about a widow or an unjust judge this time. It's about a Pharisee and a tax collector. And here's what he says. There was this Pharisee who was over here, and he comes to pray to the Lord, and he says, Lord, I fast twice a week. I give my offerings. I give my tithe. Look at all this injustice around me. These unjust people, these extortioners, these murderers, these rude, violent people, these racists, these people who don't share the gospel. Look at these people. Lord, thank you that I'm not like that. Thank you. Thank you that I'm not like that, God. I just want to thank you for that. And then you have the tax collector over here. And then the tax collector, he has his head bowed. He's on his knees. And he won't even look up to heaven. And he says, Lord, and he's crying too. He's beating his chest. He's just beating his chest saying, Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Please have mercy on me. He recognizes his position before the Lord. The difference between the Pharisee and the tax collector is that the tax collector recognizes who God is, and the Pharisee sees who he thinks he is. And here's the temptation that we run into when we see injustice around us. We can make the call like the Pharisee, say, look at these people out in the world. Look at this. Look at this going on. I can't believe, you've heard the spirit before. I can't believe those murders in the streets. I can't believe they burned those churches. I can't believe, how can they do that? You've heard that spirit before. Just kind of an attitude where it's accusatory and fault-finding. Now, there's a place for justice, but That's the temptation we run into when we see things wrong. And Jesus told a parable right after he talks about the call for justice, about it, to caution us about falling into that trap. And then he points us to what true humility is like. He points us to the tax collector, to the murderer, the thief on the cross, who says, "Lord, have mercy on me. What can I do to make things better around here?" And Jesus says here, look at Luke 18, verse 14. Luke 18, verse 14. Jesus says, "I tell you, this man," the tax collector, "went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." Who went down to his house justified? The tax collector. The tax collector. Oh, I forgot to pull out my notes. All right. So we're going to James chapter 4 next, and we're going to see something similar in the book of James. And while we're waiting for justice here on this earth, turn to the book of James. While we're waiting for justice, God's calling us to have a certain attitude. And you know, at the cross, Jesus received the punishment of justice. He did. And then he finalized that victory when he resurrected. Let's go to James chapter 4. We're going to pick up where the Pharisee or the Pharisee's thoughts left off. This is actually how the Pharisee felt. He said, James' counsel would be good for the Pharisee. So imagine James, Jesus' brother, speaking to the Pharisee and giving him some friendly counsel. Here's what James has to say to the Pharisee. He says, "Don't speak evil of one another, brethren." James 4:11, this is. "He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge another?" That's what James has to say to the Pharisee. And then, interestingly, James makes a call for justice. So there is a righteous way to call for justice. It's written in Scripture here. It's in James chapter 5. So this is like the persistent widow praying to God day and night. Imagine her saying this. This is in James 5. James 5:1 says, "Come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches are corrupted, your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and your silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be a witness against you and eat your flesh like fire. You've heaped up treasure in the last days. Indeed, the wages of your laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, they cry out. And the cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth." And that word Sabaoth there, that actually means hosts. That's not Sabbath like we're worshiping today, the day we're worshiping on. That means Lord of hosts, Lord of armies. "You've lived on the earth in pleasure and luxury, and you've fattened your hearts as in a day of slaughter. You've condemned, you've murdered the just. He doesn't resist you." This is similar to the Pharisee. The Pharisee comes to God and he says, "I'm just." That's basically what he says. And then he's living and standing before God, looking up to heaven, living in pleasure and luxury, feeling good about himself like these rich people. These rich people, James talks about, are not only the wealthy as we see it in the United States. In the United States here, each one of us here, we really are pretty wealthy compared to the rest of the world. We have all the luxuries, many of the luxuries that this life could offer. We have the television to get the information that's going on around the world, the internet to investigate anything we could wish. Most of us have stable jobs. We have ways to get food. We even have the government to help us if we can't get food. We really are supported well in the United States. And God has appointed us stewards to give to the rest of the world and to give to our brothers and sisters who don't have enough. And James makes this call to the rich. Come, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. He's basically saying, if you are not giving what you have to serve other people, all those things, they're going to be moth-eaten, they're going to be corrupted. That gold is going to be tossed out in the streets. And the cries for justice from the people who don't have enough, they're going up to the Lord of armies, the Lord of hosts. Like that persistent widow crying day and night. The Lord hears the cries of the poor, and he hears your cries as you see injustice in this world. And then we have some good counsel from James right after that. I just love the balance of the scripture. It takes us one place and then gives us something right after to help us out. Let's go to James 5, chapter 7. James 5, verse 7. And right after James makes the call for justice, he does similarly to what he learned from his brother Jesus. He says, okay, brethren, you see these rich and you see how wages are being held back. Things aren't fair. He says, but be patient, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. You see how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and the latter rain? James takes us to an agricultural illustration. He says, okay, look, look at the farmer. The farmer plants the seed. He waits for the rain to come down and water it. He waits patiently, checks day by day, and in faith, he waits for the precious fruit, the produce of the earth. And so too, God will bring justice one day. Just wait patiently and give mercy while justice is pending. In the book of Romans, it says that we should do good to those who persecute us and do good to those who do evil. Don't overcome evil with evil, but overcome evil with good. And then he says in verse 8, be patient and establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Jesus is truly coming soon. Because he's died, rested, and resurrected, we by faith look to that future day that Kathy mentioned in her story. We look to that future day when Jesus comes with the angels on the clouds of heaven. Patiently. Verse 9 says, don't grumble against one another while you're waiting, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. Don't grumble against the tax collectors. They may have a lesson to teach you. Yeah, they may have stolen, but if they're repenting, offer mercy like God does. Offer mercy. And then James points us to the prophets in verse 10, and then he points us to Job, how they were patient. You remember Job? Who here has read about Job? Yeah. Job, he had a tough situation in life. His family was taken from him. In fact, I believe in the book of Job it says a whirlwind came and did some damage to his family and his home and things. I'll have to check that. Check me this afternoon. Go look in the book of Job and see what happened to his family. It's in the very beginning. So Job experienced a lot of injustice. In fact, his health was taken away from him for no reason, really. And he was patient and he waited on the Lord. Yeah, he cried. He was in pain. He wrote heart-wrenching things in the book that he wrote in Job. I mean, this man was begging for mercy from God. He didn't know what was going on. And he could have thought, God, this isn't fair. What is going on? But he persevered till the end. And we know that the Lord is merciful and good because at the end of Job's story, he got twice as much as he had ever had before that whole ordeal happened to him. And so too with us on this earth. Things are going to be taken away from us. Our health may fail, but we're going to have better in the end. Jesus showed us that at the cross and his resurrection. He endured a life of patient toil, and then for 3.5 years, he went to search, to seek out and save the lost sheep with no home, suffered hunger, suffered persecution. He lived a life that's a perfect example for us. And then, to top it all off, he let himself be crucified. He took his rest in the grave. And then he rose up in victory on that third day. And because of that victory, he's promising us better in the future. He's promising us justice. And, all right, turn with me over to Revelation 6, 9 to 11. Revelation 6. That's what Jeff read during the scripture reading, and I also mentioned this at the beginning of the sermon. Those souls that John sees under the altar, that was a cry for justice. And then here's the answer that comes in the vision. In what happened, actually. It says a white robe was given to each of them, and it said that they should rest until the rest of their brethren who would be martyred like them would be completed. And so that's actually something going down to the end of time. There will be martyrs, and there are still martyrs who are dying for Christ and the victories of the cross today. And just as those souls under the altar cried out that John saw in vision, it's kind of like what God said to Cain back in Genesis. Cain, the brother of Abel, you know the story of Cain and Abel. They were out in the field. Cain was jealous because God wouldn't accept his sacrifice. Cain came like the Pharisees, said, Lord, you know, look at these good fruits I have to offer you. This is what I have for you, God. God didn't accept his offering, and he got mad because of it. He got really mad. But then there's Abel, who did what God said and brought the sacrificial lamb without blemish, the sacrificial animal without blemish to the altar, and it was accepted. Cain got mad, killed his brother out in the field, and the Lord came and said to Cain, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. The voice of Abel's blood, the voice of the martyrs cries out from the earth for justice. And it will be served. But while we wait for justice, brothers and sisters, be patient and show mercy because vengeance is the Lord's. Let him take care of the justice. Let's be like that tax collector. Take a look into the law of God that was transgressed. Let's be like that tax collector and say, Lord, have mercy upon me. I'm a sinner. Not like the Pharisee. Let's be patient like the farmer and wait for the precious fruit of the earth until Jesus comes back. At the cross, justice was served. It was served. You know, when blood is shed, the law demands justice. And justice demands blood in payment for the blood that was shed. Because all of us in this room have sinned, the law demands that blood be paid for our sins. And you know whose blood paid for our sins, don't you? Who is that? That's Jesus. Jesus' blood makes the payment that the law demands. Jesus' blood makes the payment for the justice that the law demands. Jesus' blood. And then he solidified that deal when he resurrected from the grave. Isn't that amazing? Laid in the tomb, that stone rolled aside, and he comes out in power and glory. And he's going to come back in power and glory when he returns to this earth. So as we wait for Jesus, as we wait for the wrath of God to be poured out on the unjust, let's beg for mercy while we demand justice. We want justice. The blood cries out. But let's beg for mercy in our own lives and for the people who are living unjustly. Beg for mercy for them, because Jesus not only died for you who are humbling yourself before God, but he died for those people that are living like the Pharisee, or the people who don't even care. The people, just beg for mercy for them, because Jesus' resurrection shows us that it's possible to have victory over death. And it's by his blood. And here's his promise in Revelation 22. Revelation 22. Here's what Jesus says. There's going to come a time. There's going to come a time, and this is what will be said. Revelation 22:11. He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still. And then Jesus says, behold, I'm coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, and the end, the first and the last. Whose works will you accept? Jesus's or your own? Jesus says, I will give everyone according to his work. If you decide to accept Jesus, you accept his works done through you in place of your own works. So you get judged, and you get judged like you're righteous, like you're Jesus. That's why you can be saved. But if you depend upon your own goodness, like the Pharisee, looking at everyone around you and saying, look at them, I'm doing good. If you depend on that work, you'll get your reward, and you'll be rewarded accordingly to what you've done good, but you also have to accept the payment and the justice for the evil you've done too. So accept Jesus today, and accept his life in place of yours, because that's what he did for you. Who here would like to accept Jesus today? Amen. I would too. Let's pray.